We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking with our guest from the Manhattan Housing Authority, Executive Director Aaron Estabrook, Chairperson Jan Galitzer, and our representative here from who represents HUD here, and Leslie Zarker, Senior Manager, Multifamily Housing and Energy Efficiency. We mentioned April 22nd being a date where this webinar is going to be taking place here for the city of Manhattan on fair housing. And I know that there's some other information here we're going to talk about kind of with that. And Leslie, first of all, we'll introduce you here and kind of tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. Thanks, Brandon. I am with ICF, which is a global consulting firm that works with governments and housing authorities and a number of other organizations on lots of different initiatives for better outcomes in government and better public policies. We work with HUD and the Department of Energy on the Better Buildings Challenge, which is a voluntary leadership initiative founded by DOE in 2010 to make homes, buildings, and manufacturing plants across the country at least 20% more energy efficient over 10 years. And organizations like Manhattan Housing Authority have stepped up to the challenge, committing to this 20% energy savings goal for their entire building portfolio. HUD works with the Department of Energy to support multifamily housing partners specifically that are participating in the challenge, providing technical assistance to help them achieve their energy savings goals and to gain recognition for their real leadership and innovation that they show. So it's been great working with Manhattan.
Explain why energy efficiency is so important, especially for low-income folks who need better housing.
Sure. So energy efficiency, the basic concept is to do the same work with less energy. When we are running building systems, heating, cooling, lighting, all of the plug loads of all of the computers and implementation and appliances that we use, a building can... If we're using updated equipment, newer equipment, if the building envelope is secure, doesn't have a lot of cracks and gaps, that's what we call an energy efficient building. When buildings get more run down with wear and tear, they need obviously to be maintained and upgraded in order to maintain their efficiency. And so we work with partners all over the country in the Better Buildings Challenge. There are 91 housing organizations in the challenge, in the multifamily sector of the challenge. About 35 of them are public housing authorities to help improve their efficiency and reach their 20% energy efficiency goal.
Now, we have a lot of older homes here in Manhattan. I imagine it'd be very cost prohibitive to do that with a lot of those homes. So what are some ways here where the city and HUD are working together to kind of bridge that?
Sure. So actually, Manhattan Housing Authority has done some really impressive projects to reach its energy efficiency goals. For example, Aaron, you had mentioned apartment towers. A few years back, I believe in 2018, they completed the total gut rehab of apartment towers, which is a 12-story high-rise in town. And it was originally in response to discovering mold in the building. So that meant they needed to relocate their residents, demolish part of the building, and it allowed for energy efficiency improvements like replacing the building's HVAC system with a higher efficiency system, replacing windows, waterproofing the building envelope, doing a partial roof replacement. So there was a lot of work that went into it, and obviously this work isn't cheap. And so under the former executive director, Joanne Sutton, they arranged some really innovative financing to make all of this happen. And I believe it was just over $8 million in financing that was done for these retrofits. So really comprehensive work.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing the savings, the results now, and some of the way that is financed is through that savings. You know, the energy performance that you're getting, you're getting the same amount of energy, but you're paying less. But those upgrades that you have done help pay for some of the things that are required initially, that capital cost up front to get to make those changes. And I think Leslie can talk more about, but we were really seeing some tremendous savings in energy through last year. And then, well, 2 years ago, I think we were 16% or so. And we had a little dip, maybe because we're down to 13, based on maybe some COVID a lot of people are utilizing their spaces more, and we have a higher occupancy than we did the year before. But still, within a few years, we are already at 13% savings and over 74,000 square feet of property. And that's, I mean, it just is, when we talk about how we can do things, and I think this comes to mind because of Earth Day, and we talk about climate change, and we talk about what are we doing with recycling and all kinds. 74,000 square feet is a big chunk of trying to make a difference. And when you've made a difference in double digits in a short period of time in energy savings, I think that's this broader system of the Department of Energy collaborating with HUD. We've seen a lot of improvements at Fort Riley you had earlier. The Department of Defense has done a lot of these projects. So it was important for me to understand this, but also to have Leslie here to talk about, you know, government is not all just trying to expand and get bigger. It's trying to actually be more efficient and save money. And some of these policy outcomes of around climate and energy savings are really important to a lot of people in our community.
Well, no doubt. I mean, honestly, I think most of us would rather live in a space that's got that's more energy efficient, because your bill's going to be lower, and you're still getting the same quality heating and cooling that other people are having who may have more money than you. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity. Is there some more here that this partnership will benefit the city, Aaron?
Yeah, so we looked at the two properties that were part of the Better Buildings Challenge, but we have more properties. And so there's things that we can do going forward. There's opportunities. We're not at 20%, and that's the goal, right? Like, we got to get to 20% in the two properties, but we can also 20% of savings is what I should say. We're at 13% of savings. We're trying to get to 20% savings to meet that challenge. But it just shows us, it's kind of a flash that, man, this is possible. It works, and it works at a large level to get that energy savings. We've already seen the results.
Right. You mentioned some of those buildings. Where are some of those located at here?
So the two that are studied, Leslie, do you want to talk about those two that are part of the case study?
Sure. So Apartment Towers, I believe, is in the center of town, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And then Carlson Plaza is the other one that we're tracking. I'm not quite sure where that one is.
That one's downtown.
Downtown as well.
But then so those are kind of more of the larger, what might have been a congregate type of living, more of a common area that we could have savings in. The other properties are more like duplexes and apartments. And those include Hudson Circle, Bear Place, Pottawatomie Court, and then potentially Flint Hills Place as well. But it's the low hanging fruit, and what we had the most control over were these two larger facilities to get that savings, and they needed update. I mean, the buildings were from the late 60s, early 70s. And as we do repairs, that was mentioned, as we go through and get things up to current code, like for Mr. Clausen that will be joining us eventually, as we make those repairs, we can find efficiencies and ways to pay for those efficiencies.
Yeah, because it's not cheap, obviously, and partnerships will certainly help alleviate that going forward. We've got just a couple minutes here left. Is there anything else you want to highlight here this morning?
You know, just talking about paying for this work, it's obviously very important to find the financing for that. And I should mention that Manhattan Housing Authority was able to take advantage of the Energy Performance Contracting Program through HUD. That actually it's not upfront government money at all that's financing this work for that piece of the puzzle. It was it's really private financing. So an energy performance contract, the housing provider works with a private company, an energy services company, to provide the upfront funds for a scope of work that is developed from performing a comprehensive energy audit of a building, to look where the biggest bang for your buck and energy savings can come from in the HVAC system and the building envelope, all sorts of different measures that can be done to save energy. And then the energy services company is then over time paid from the savings in order to pay back their initial investments. So it's privately funded through an energy performance contract. And that's part of the funding that happened here with this project. So it's been a really, really good program with HUD all around the country. And it worked well here.
Great. I've got more education to do here on learning more about HUD. I know HUD's an organization there, the government, but these are going to be very important going forward here as the Housing Authority continues to strive toward its goal of 20% energy efficiency. And Aaron, I know this is important work to you here. You kind of campaigned on housing being a critical issue here for the city of Manhattan. And we know how important it is here being a population of so many transient folks.
Right. Well, and I'm thankful to be able to serve the population, and we know that housing is a fundamental need. We need shelter, right? We need water, we need air, and we need housing or shelter. And we're just trying to make that available and make that efficient and deliver those services as best we can.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate the time here this morning. Leslie Zarker here, our guest this morning from ICF. Thank you so much.
Great to be here.
Jan Galitzer, we appreciate you being on here as well.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Yep. And Aaron Estabrook, of course. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandon. See you next month.
All right. Sounds good. That's going to wrap up our show here for this Thursday. And thanks to all of our guests, including our guest from Fort Riley. Coming up tomorrow, Ascension Via Christi will be on the show. We'll have Bob Koppel. We've also got the Wamego Tulip Festival being previewed with Kara Hawley. And then we'll also hear from our Raleigh County Health Department RADx Up team here, getting those vaccines out.